Hey everybody, this is Armando Torres and you're listening to the show before the show.
And I'm Paige Wesley.
And you might be noticing that this one is a little short. That's because, as you can probably undoubtedly hear from this intro alone, Paige is sick and has a limit on how much she can talk, but it's still a great episode diving into a really fucking interesting story on the sideline of what we've been talking about. Holy shit. I had no idea that this happened, which is fucking crazy. I've been learning so much through this series that starts to, like, you know, it makes things make more sense. If that,
like, today you learned how deadly trains are.
Yeah, and that'll make sense midway through this episode. So we just wanted to give a couple announcements. First off, Panic Fest is coming up and we're so excited to see you. However, that show is now sold out. Wild.
Crazy.
Wild that you have done this to us.
Wild and crazy kids.
And we can't wait to see you wild and crazy kids at the Screenland Armor for Panic Fest. That's going to be so much fun. Thank you so much. I'm going to be at Moon Tower Comedy Festival immediately after. Paige is going to be at two fucking legendary comedy clubs of the Bay Area. Punchline, that's right. And then in Tokyo. So fucking go follow us on social media. I am at Mondo Does Stuff, M-A-N-D-O Does Stuff.
And I am at Paige Wesley on Twitter and at Rampage Wesley on Instagram and TikTok.
Yeah, so go check those out. And we can't wait to see you in Kansas City. We can't wait to see you in Austin and Tokyo. We can't wait to see you in San Francisco. We can't wait to see you, period. So without any further ado, let's hop into the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I get to be on pitch for once.
I'm excited for that for you.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid.
For the purposes of this podcast, we define a cult as organizations that rally behind an entity or leader who espouse beliefs outside the norm.
Organizations that require physical or monetary sacrifice as a condition of membership.
Organizations in which the doctrines followed by the leaders are different than that of the followers.
Organizations in which isolation is encouraged either by commune living or by a policy of disconnection from outside relationships.
And organizations that actively recruit new members. All cults might have some or all of these traits, and as always,
these are our opinions.
Thank you for tuning into Cult Podcast. I'm Paige Wesley.
And I'm Armando Torres.
And with us we have bronchitis.
Yeah, acute bronchitis.
Acute bronchitis.
Which, to be fair, I mean, like, pinpointed and not adorable bronchitis.
Yeah. It's the kind where they're like, we have definitely identified that you are dying in this specific way. I've been sick for like a fucking week. So I sound terrible and I can't laugh and I'm sorry.
Canonically, I want you, the listener, to understand that this is the episode where I'm the least funny. Actually, that's why I'm not getting any laughter.
We recorded Horror Virgin this morning and I tried to laugh. And the first couple times I laughed and then I just devolved into coughing up blood onto my desk and they were like, don't do that anymore. And I was like, okay, it's going to be a pretty short episode. So likewise, this might be a shorter episode. We'll see how long I last.
Yeah, which is understandable. There's a shot clock above Paige's head that's playing when she cannot talk anymore. Ugh. When she can get that, when she can fucking Hail Mary that last joke in there, and then we gotta cut.
Yep. Yep.
I also, you said something before we started recording that reminded me of, like, I don't know how to say this perfectly, like you know how they have those, like, German literature and you, like, translate it into English and it sounds so much darker and sadder, like, yes. In German it's like, oh, I am having a hard time laughing. The way you described it, it was like, I don't have the lung capacity to pass for the laugh.
I'm so sorry,
my body is incapable of making the joy. And you're like, and I'm like, oh fuck, damn dog, okay.
Well, and I made the mistake of, like, and everyone does this, where, like, you're super sick. And then there's a day when you're like, oh, I feel better. Like, I can go do all the normal shit. And then you try too hard. And then you just make yourself sicker than you were, right? So for me, that was doing a show last night that required me to sing for half an hour straight. That was a bad plan, Paige. future Paige telling past Paige that, you know what? I know that you were super proud of that parody of Bonnie Raitt's Something to Talk about cryptids and conspiracy theories. I get it. I know that you wanted to belt out the word chemtrails. However, maybe not such a good idea. Since this morning, I was supposed to watch Cocktail this morning, which, by the way, don't watch Cocktail. I'll save you the time. and I couldn't sit up long enough to watch Cocktail. I kept getting dizzy, and I was like, oh, I've made a terrible mistake.
God, Jesus Christ. You just brought me back to like my high school theater days where it's like, the show must go on. I got to get out there and belt a song about how Gilroy was here or whatever the fuck that dude's name was.
Godot. I think you were waiting for Godot, although that's not a musical. But anyway, it's stage health. Like, there's a word for it in stage industry, and it's stage health, where the adrenaline of like going on stage, you're like, oh, yeah, I can fucking do it. And then you go on stage and you're just like, it's like the best set you've ever had. Like, for some reason, you cannot match the stage health set. It is immaculate. You're like, I'm fucking crushing it. And then you come off stage and you're like, I'm dying. Oh my God. Like, why did I do this?
Yeah, it's the thing is there's two options. One, it's not that you're giving the performance of your lifetime. It's that you're so high on Dayquil that you physically are incapable of realizing that you're just like, InfoWars, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Or whatever. Yeah, but I know what you're talking about, because there is that thing where right before you go on, you just get this rush of adrenaline and it doesn't matter what's going on. You know how many times I've been like, I'm going to shit my pants right now.
Oh, yes.
And then they go, coming up next to the stage, Armando Torres. And then I feel like I don't have to shit again for a month right when I'm on stage.
I've had that exact one where I had a ton of dental work done earlier in the day, and I was like, but this show must go on, even though it was just a show in a pizza parlor and was not a show that needed to go on. And I like did my set. It was fucking great. And then I literally walked off stage directly into the bathroom and had just horrifically painful diarrhea, just like like collapsed on the floor of the bathroom. What I'm saying is I need to practice more self-care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we're going to start that by doing this episode.
By recording when I should probably be napping. I ordered a sandwich for later because I can smell and taste everything, which is good. Also, it's definitely not COVID. I tested like 3 different times because every doctor was like, yeah, that sounds like COVID. And then I test and they're like, weird. Guess yeah, not.
We forget that other illnesses exist because of COVID.
I know. I was like, you can get regular fucking sick, guys. But even though I can smell and taste everything, I haven't been able to eat for 3 days because everything for some reason just smells and tastes disgusting. Like, I don't know what that is, but I'm like, this is the worst part of this sickness. So I was able to eat a little bit yesterday, and then I think I can eat today. We'll see. Mind over matter. I figured at least a sandwich I could put in the fridge and it wouldn't be a waste. I'll make Jake eat it later if I can't eat it. But yeah.
Well, hell yeah.
That would be so skinny. No, I'm kidding. That's terrible. Not worth it. I feel terrible.
Yeah, I got back from Boston and Austin and thought to myself, like, oh man, did I get COVID? Because I don't feel good. Like, my nose is stuffed and like sometimes I keep sneezing, and I'm like, I tested for COVID like I think 5 times and kept getting negative. And I like explained to somebody, like, I don't know what happened. I feel like I'm dying. And they were like, yeah, that just sounds like allergies.
But. Yeah, that does sound like allergies, bro.
Oh, that's right. I forgot, because I didn't go outside for several years, that I haven't experienced allergies or sickness.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm sure this is, because here's the thing. I used to get bronchitis all the damn time when my lungs were bad, and I haven't had it in like 5 years. So like, as Stain said, it's been a while. And
don't.
I pulled that off, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's
I
like...
just took 1 year off your life. Yeah, so it's been a long time and it's kicking me in the ass today. So
this is like watching an Olympic gymnast who broke their ankle right before they go on. And like, every
I can do it.
Yeah, every time they nail the trick, you're like, yes, but also, oh no.
That's when people look at that, they're like, what a hero. And I was like, she shouldn't have had to do that. Like, yeah. That poor girl.
So while you're listening to this podcast, I want you to be thinking, what a hero. And also, she shouldn't be doing that. She
shouldn't be doing that.
Oh my God.
So our sources for this episode are pretty much the same as the last one, because we are still with Brigham Young's group, although one of the things that we're going to cover today is actually an offshoot of the group. So when we last left Brigham Young's group, they had made it across the country into what would be the promised land of Utah. I know the listeners can't see this, but I'm in like a red velour nightgown and I just look like I should be like, blessed be the fruit. Every time I go anywhere,
you look like you're haunting a nightclub.
Anyway, so along the way, they were joined by a number of other groups traveling that direction. So I want to take a moment to talk about one of those groups today. So Henry Kane was a self-proclaimed reverend and opportunist who saw the Mormon migration as a chance to find something better for the small group of followers he had gathered just outside of Missouri. And while he'd followed Joseph Smith's teachings closely, he and his group weren't strictly Mormon. This was more of a cult of personality situation. So he had convinced his followers that he was the ultimate key to utopia and that he, like Joseph, had a front row seat to God's will. It's the cult special.
Yeah. There's this thing that happens with cults around the same time where they just sort of like somebody else's ideology that they're using for their cult. And they're just like, oh, huh, so that worked for you, huh? I'm going to just go ahead and do that.
Fancy that. I'll just take a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of buffet. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking with somebody else about cults and they were describing this group. And I was like, that's the Moonies. That's Sun Myung Moon that you're describing. And they're like, no, it was somebody else. And we looked it up and it's literally just another Korean cult from the same time, because there was like 12 of them and they all used the same bullshit.
There's a documentary on that one that I've been meaning to watch and I can't start it now because I will not stay awake for all of it. not because it's boring, because my body is exhausted. I am a shell of my former self. So...
yeah, and you don't want to have them true crime documentary dreams where, like, you're in it and it's true detective season, your dreams.
Can I tell you worse dreams that I've been having? So, like, we closed on our house this week. Oof. So, like, we fought with the banks forever. We finally got to close docs, right? We, like, signed the documents. No sooner had, like, my pen hit the table than my body just failed me completely. So I, last night, while I was having trouble breathing as I was sleeping, kept having nightmares that people were trying to smother me with contracts to sign while I was under, like, while I was sick, so that I couldn't say no and I couldn't read them. And I was just like, oh, man, there's some symbolism there, I think. So.
Yeah, I don't tend to read into like what dreams mean or anything, but that one was straight up a message from somebody else. Like, that was beamed into your head directly, either by your subconscious or by, I don't know, the god of ending capitalism, either one.
I think it was more just like, hey, this is how you got sick. Because you didn't sleep for like the 2 days before you closed to try and make sure that you had all the documents in place. So yeah. Yeah. But now we have a house that allegedly has stuff in it. I don't know. I haven't been there in a few days.
Allegedly indeed.
Allegedly. Anyway. So when things heated up in Missouri for the Mormons, as we have covered any number of times from any number of directions, Kane and his flock found themselves kind of lumped in. So while they're not strictly Mormons, they seem Mormon enough, and that was good enough for Missouri to just fucking kill people. So this left Kane's group with no other choice but to get the fuck out of Dodge. And since the Mormons already were, it made sense to head that way along with them. So Kane's congregation, a lot like Brigham Young's, consisted mainly of families. But because they gave nearly all their possessions to Kane or gave them away, most of them were traveling on foot and they were very, very poor. So they set out with one of the initial waves of the travelers moving west, but they had difficulty keeping up and even more difficulty following the rules of the group. See, this was a Mormon exodus, not a choose-your-own-cult adventure exodus. So it's kind of tough when you've got one of Brigham Young's leaders being like, hey, this is what we're doing, and you've got Kane over here like, or you could do what I say to do, right?
Yeah, I wish I had a better analogy for this, but it's just like spending all of your time and money to open up like a burger shop, and then your shitty little cousin opens up one across the street and is like, yeah, I mean, it's basically the same stuff, but now I'm in charge of it, so it's better.
Yeah, I think of it as like that. I think you should leave sketch where he crashes through that store in the hot dog costume and he's just like, we're all trying to figure out who did this. And they're like, it was you. Like, we were doing our own thing, but then you showed up.
No, yeah. It could clearly be anybody.
My favorite part of that sketch is where they're like, you're dressed like a hot dog. And he's like, so is that guy. And they point to a guy whose suit colors are hot dog colors. And you're just like, how'd they even find that? It's so good.
I just love the face that that guy makes where he just goes, no, I'm... Oh, no.
No. Oh.
That's me every time I wear my red hat and a green jacket because those colors look good at me on me. And then like I'll post a picture and somebody just replies with a separate picture of Fidel Castro. And I'm like, wait, no. Oh, no.
Can I tell you that that's one of my favorite replies that I ever see you get? That makes me laugh so hard every time it happens.
Man, just let me play Fidel. Come on, James Franco. You're done. You're finished, bud. Let me in there. Let me in.
But what if he does amazing like when he played Tommy Wiseau?
Yeah. I got problems with James Franco and most of
them. Well, I mean, he's not a good guy.
No, yeah, sure. The good guy, like, he's a bad person, yeah. But my main problem is that he's playing Fidel Castro and I'm not. Fidel Castro was 6'3", I think. I don't know. Don't look that up. Don't Google it.
No, I'm not. I have no idea. Anyway, so it was not a peaceful journey with the Mormons. They were constantly fighting. But Kane's group does make it all the way to Salt Lake with them. But it had been grueling. It was a rough voyage for anybody. Voyage is kind of a sea thing, right?
I don't know. I feel like that's how I've heard it.
I've been writing a lot of ship hits episodes recently, so.
Yeah, Journey, it does explain voyage. Why earlier I was like, oh, are you ready to record this episode? And you said, aye, matey, ours for record.
I spelled that out, too, which was extra weird.
Oh, fuck, I put a doot in there.
Oh, damn it. That'll be ...
Damn it.
Anyway, they make it to Salt Lake. But Kane is not satisfied because here's the thing. What Kane really wants is ultimate control, obviously, right? That's the whole reason people get into being a cult leaders, to make people follow them and to manipulate them into doing whatever you want. So he decides that they're better than Salt Lake. And they're going to keep going. So they continue through the desert toward Southern California. But Kane made one crucial mistake. See, he was not an adventurer. He didn't have maps or compasses. He didn't know the lay of the land. He didn't practice the journey. He didn't know anything. And so what he saw as endless uninhabited desert was actually very inhabited by many indigenous tribes. And they took notice of the very ragtag group of white people trudging through the desert on foot. So one of the tribes attempted to make contact, and they approached the group in peace because obviously they were not a threat.
Yeah.
But Henry was having none of it. He wanted to be the main leader. He wanted ultimate control. He didn't want anyone making it seem like he couldn't care for his people. And so the tribe, after literally just a day or two, realized the manipulative dynamic that was going on in the group and attempted to intervene. And were like, hey, it seems like this is a bad plan. And Henry lashed out. So the tribe retreated with a warning that Henry and his group could never traverse or settle on their land again. And as the journey continued, there started to be dissent among the group. They were tired. They were hungry. They were really fucking tired of walking across what seemed like endless desert. And Henry did what...
I'm sorry. I'm just laughing because, like, the other day I had to walk up two flights of stairs and I was like, fuck this. Fuck this. I'm never doing this again. I'm only taking elevators from here on out. This is how I live my life. And then I realized that these people walked across the continent, basically.
Across the continent. The other day I got to the show and I had to walk half a block and I was like, I will never recover from this.
No. Look, I know that I should walk more. Remember back during the pandemic when I walked 6 miles a fucking day?
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, I felt great. I felt fit. Everything was great. Now the other day, the same thing happened to me where I got out and I realized that I was like half a mile away and I was like, I gotta find myself a fucking bird scooter. I gotta wrangle up a bird. Come on.
See, I don't trust the bird scooters. I feel like I'm just going to end up pancaked on the front of a car. Like, because here's the thing. I'm not a good driver in a car.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't trust myself to be more exposed.
Yeah. Anyway. I think that you and I have one big difference is that either one of two things happens. One, I get to the show, I get to the venue, whatever, safe and sound, and I took a cheap little scooter and it was fun. Two, I don't have to worry about paying rent anymore ever again forever. So it's one of two things. Either I get there or I die. And then I get to be a guy who died on a bird scooter, which honestly is probably the most fitting death. That's how I want to die, but like at 99. Like comedian, actor, writer Armando Torres dead in bird scooter accident. And they're like, what? What?
What?
Wait, that guy was like 100 years old. And it's like,
Why is he still taking bird scooters?
He tried to do a tail whip and fucking died, dude. It was rad as fuck.
This next sentence is going to start out horrible, but I promise it'll end horrible too. So I have two different friends now that have been hit by trains. Yeah. And one of them, the payout from that accident bought her a house and gives her like a monthly payout, both for like disability, obviously, but then like in perpetuity, like payouts for that accident. Right. So she was basically free to pursue her passions, but devastatingly injured. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But she's doing great. And then I made a new friend who got hit by a train and he lost his feet at the ankles and he went from being 5'8" to 6'2". And he's like, honestly, no complaints. And I was like, bro, you got hit by a train. But, you know, that's that upside of like you could never pay rent again or you could have a fun scooter ride.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's the That's not quite how I meant it, but I see what you're saying. And I also, you've
I'm on a lot of cold medicine, man.
You've unlocked the new fear of trains for me. Like, I thought the danger of being hit by a train ended when fucking curly mustached villains went out of style. But now I'm back in it and terrified.
No, it's all you gotta be is slightly too drunk.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. No, it's one of those things that, like, I would never have thought in my younger days that I would have so many friends who've been hit by trains. But you know what? And, like, here's the thing. The one guy who lost his feet at the ankles, he's in a support group for people who've been hit by trains. Because apparently there are dozens of them, like so many of them. But because he only lost his feet at the ankles, and a lot of the other people in the support group lost like full limbs and stuff, they call him Paper Cut as a nickname. It's one of my favorite things about him.
Oh my God.
Also, he like teaches jujitsu with no feet.
That's fucking rocks. I
know this is a random tangent, but like,
look, the thing is like, okay, this next part is not funny at all, but it's funny in a cosmic sort of way, in that I was like, that's fucking wild. I can't, like, I feel like I know one person. We have a shared friend that, you know, had a similar thing, and
right
yeah, but
she's the one who got the house. Uh-huh. Yes.
And so like, that's what I was thinking, but then I was
and
like,
also won a treadmill on television, one of my favorite stories about her. Yes.
Yeah. And I'm thinking like, that's wild. And then I remembered that in high school there was this huge thing because one of the students that we went to school with was killed when they got hit by a train. And I'm thinking like, fucking trains are so much more dangerous than I could have ever. I don't think about trains ever. And now I think every time I see a train, I'm going to be so much more cautious.
Hey, trains kill more people than sharks every year.
What the fuck? Where's our Jaws but for train? Where's train?
Dude, hippos kill more people than sharks. Sharks actually don't kill that many people.
Yeah. That's Cult Podcast's official stance, is that sharks are little bitches and they don't do shit. And they need to step their numbers up.
But you know what?
ABC, always be chomping. Come on, sharks.
You know what kills slightly fewer people than sharks, but a significant amount of people every year? Beach umbrellas.
What? I thought you were gonna say fucking vending machines.
That's
also
one too.
True.
People die under vending machines all the time. But beach umbrellas is my favorite one, because what happened? Favorite? That's terrible. beach umbrellas blow across the beach, right? Uh-huh. They'll tumble and impale people.
Oh, God.
And it happens at least once a year. Sometimes more. It's crazy to me that like it happens often enough that there are like, if you Google news stories of just like impaled by beach umbrella, there's just like pages and pages of Google search results. It's crazy.
This isn't funny.
No. Mm-mm. I can't laugh, remember? I can't laugh. I've attempted to laugh a couple times in this episode.
Yeah.
It hurt.
That's so fucking. And you're afraid of a fucking bird scooter. Nah, dog, I'm good. I'm never going to the beach again, but I'm riding bird scooters everywhere. I'm never walking.
I bet bird scooters kill more people than trains.
Let's see. I'm going to figure
this out.
Actually,
that's probably not true. Trains kill hella people.
Yeah, trains are the most deadly thing on this fucking earth.
I mean, we've had like two derailments this year. So like, trains are extra dangerous, but like...
Oh my God. Yeah, okay. So I did the math, and 193 people were killed in railroad-related deaths in 2021, which is somehow a 20% increase from the previous year, which is, to me, is fucking wild.
Especially because we were all inside that year, but I have a worse statistic for you.
Is it that 29 people died on bird scooters or in bird scooter-related accidents?
No, that's a great one, but... I have trains are estimated to kill one person every 100 minutes.
What? Why? Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Google, set an alarm for 100 minutes from now.
We probably won't still be recording, but...
No, we won't, but that alarm's going to go off, and I'm going to go, why did I set the... Oh.
Oh. R.I.P.
Oh.
Yes. Anyway.
This is fucking, I'm sorry. I know that this is like, whatever, this is maybe dark, but I'm just now realizing that trains are more dangerous than airplanes, which is boggling my fucking mind. That's
well,
insane.
Cars are more dangerous than airplanes. Air travel is actually one of the safest ways to travel.
Yeah, unless you, I'm just realizing now that, that birds could also take out a plane and then, okay, here's how fucked up my mind
is. Engines.
Because we've been talking about bird scooters, I just saw a flock of fucking scooters flying through the air and getting caught in an engine. It was a bird scooter, and that's why Soli had to land in the Hudson.
Is it because the plane flying ahead of that plane was picking them up off the sidewalk as they went
yeah.
along?
Yeah, so that they could go recharge them.
They could recharge them.
Okay, I'm so sorry. We've spent 40 minutes talking about bird scooters and trains. We could move on. That's a wild statistic. All of these have been wild statistics.
No worries. So to recap, before our wild statistic train conversation, they had made their way across the desert and encountered some of the indigenous tribes, and those encounters were not positive. But also, it was a pretty arduous journey. So what Henry did is what all cult leaders do in this situation, as he felt unrest among his followers. He decided that he had received new prophecies from God, and that the group needed to find a place that God had ordained and await him there as he had commanded. So, now seemingly with a new plan in place and kind of revitalized by new prophecy, the group continued into Southern California, where Cain found a system of natural caverns cutting into the earth. He declared that this was the place and led his people into the caverns. Now exhausted and starving and near death, he exercised his ultimate control and sealed off the exit to the cavern. Dozens of men, women, and children slowly starved to death underground while waiting for a sign from God. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. It got real dark.
Yeah.
Now, over time, the land above the caverns would be used for sacred rites and burial ceremonies for the local tribes, not knowing the horror of what lie beneath. And over 100 years later, a real estate developer would purchase the property to develop a suburban neighborhood called Cuesta Verde, only discovering the horror of the caverns after excavating the pool. Mm-hmm. Armando, do you know what day it is?
Yeah, it's fucking April Fool's Day, you son of a bitch. You fucking
yes!
bastard.
Yes!
You rat fucking bastard. You Exorcist movie, not what it is, Poltergeist movie.
It's Poltergeist 2. It's specifically Poltergeist 2.
Son of a bitch.
Ugh. Here's what's so terrible. I knew that I was moving, you were doing a bunch of shit, and I was like, we had talked about, like, should we get a guest? And I was like, no, you know what? I bet he won't remember what day it is. And if I can like loop it in, he won't remember and it'll be fine. And so that's why I was trying to record this Friday. Although, by the way, Friday would not have been possible. I was way too sick. But Friday, so that it wouldn't be before April Fool's, because by the way, yesterday was April Fool's.
Yeah, I I now understand what our guests have been put through every single year. I understand every single person that's ever tweeted at us and been like, oh, I got by the fucking Wicker Man. Yeah, it fucking blows, Paige. It's awful. I hate this. I started realizing that something was up right towards the end, and you were like, yeah, I'm sorry, that got real dark. And I was like, yeah, it kind of also sounds like the beginning of fucking Poltergeist 2, weirdly enough. This sounds kind of, I don't know about this one.
I did, however, text Blaine to tell him that this was going to happen so that he could feel some sort of retribution.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It probably explains a lot why Blaine has been texting me like, hey, how's your day been going?
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah, son of a bitch.
Oh, God, okay.
So here's the deal. Myself, Blaine, Todd from Horror Virgin, we're all starting a support group called I Can't Believe You Fucking Got Us. If you would like to join, please do. And you can always hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, TikTok, all of those platforms at Mondo Does Stuff. That's M-A-N-D-O Does Stuff, all one word. Hey, I'm going to be at Panic Fest with Paige. We're going to be doing Cult Podcast Live. That show is sold out. Fucking
sold out.
Crazy, dude. That's wild to me.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks before it happens. Sold out.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. So I, wow, we will be in Kansas City performing for you live, and that's going to be an absolute blast. That is next Saturday. Holy shit, that's coming.
No, it's a Saturday from Saturday.
Yeah, not this coming Saturday, the next Saturday.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that is wild. And then after that, you can catch me at Moon Tower Comedy Festival. I will be there. Check my Instagram and for more information. I'll see you there. I love you so much. Goodbye, good night, good luck, and I love you. Mwah. Son of a bitch.
I was like, can I pull this off?
I saw it coming midway through, but I was not sure.
I saw your face be like, and I was like, no, let's keep it going. I will be at Panic Fest, and then April 20th, Blaze It, I will be roast battling at Cobb's in San Francisco. And then on the 23rd, I'll actually be judging at the Sacramento Punchline for that roast battle show. I know there's still a few tickets for Cobb's, and I think there's definitely tickets for Sacramento Punchline. So if you want to pick either of those, go ahead and grab tickets for that. I will also be in Tokyo June 1st through the 6th. Once I have show dates for that, I will let you know. Just hope that I get over whatever this illness is by then. And if you want to follow me on social media, you can follow me at Paige Wesley on Twitter, at Rampage Wesley on Instagram and TikTok. And you can listen to Horror Virgin Romancing the Pod or Ship Hits. And I love you so much. Bye.
Later. That's going to be it for us. Goodbye.
Bye.